Welcome, everyone. Good morning. Let us open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for all that you are, Father. Just for your love for us and for your creation and for these wonderful days. Today we have sunshine, and that's a blessing. And other days we've had snow, and that's a blessing, Father. We're as grateful for all that you give us. We really just pray this morning that we can quiet our hearts and just lay our burdens at your feet and just be so ready to receive your truths, Father. We're so thankful, for Reverend Law and just his faithfulness and his love for us, Father, and just for you working through him to bless our church for so many years, Father. And this morning, as he shares your truth to us, Father, we just pray that you may really speak through him and just ready us, Father, to hear what you wish to tell us, Father, what you wish for us to learn. We pray that we may continue to grow, in our love and worship of you, Father, and that that may really just spill out into every part of our lives. And so we trust everything to you, and we're in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so as you follow along in our bulletin, this morning our scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. All right, so I'm going to just be reading straight from the bulletin. I think it's behind me as well, and you can follow along. Verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." So I'd like to invite Pastor Anthony up this morning.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's such a big joy that today I can come back and to meet with you and to preach God's word to you. Today's passage is taken from the incident recorded about Jesus resurrected on the Easter night. And on that night is the first time after his resurrection, he met with his disciples. And he said to them, it's the first time he saw them after his resurrection. And this, suppose, is a very joyful time. But we know that this is not the final see you, the final goodbye that Jesus is going to say to the disciples. Because we know that after 40 days, he's going to prepare them for the final goodbye, final see you on the Mount Olive. 40 days ago from now, actually it was my birthday. And it's the first time after my long sick leave, I met with the church brothers and sisters. And the group is my staff and also my fellow pastors. I feel so joyful that they asked me out for lunch to celebrate birthday for me. And it's really, really touching and moved for me. And that's the first time I saw the church member again. After 40 days comes to today, I'm going to say the final see you, final goodbye to you guys. Going back to the Easter night when Jesus saw his disciples, that incident is really, really important and crucial, because we see that from that time onward to the final see you that Jesus is going to speak to the disciples on the Mount Olive during his ascension. That makes a big change. And this see you on the Easter night is very, very crucial and very important, because we see, we find the change in the disciples. Just like today, seems I have prepared for a long time for today, and I'm not sure about you, but many people are focused on today. But today is not the most important day. Just like Jesus when he is saying the final goodbye, it's not the most important day. It's the time afterward that makes the importance. Like the wedding, some of you have been married. The wedding day is very, very important for you guys, right? For those married couples. And Faith, I think you are preparing for that day, right? And John, yeah. But I always do, when doing the marriage counseling, pre-marriage counseling, I always told the couples that that day is important, but the life afterward is even more important. Just like Jesus, he's going to say goodbye, but when he said goodbye, the time afterward is more important because the time afterward is the birth of the church, and also is the sign that given to the disciples and the follower of Jesus to know how to live a life, a post-Easter life, or to be a church that really reflects the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that part, today is important, but I hope that it's not just about today, and it's about the life and also the future of the church. Going back to the passage, we find that when the moment that Jesus showed up to his disciple, how's the status of the disciples? In verse 19, it said, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the door locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. The door is locked, and they were filled with fear. They were depressed. They were fear in the locked room. I understand this very, very clearly. In my depression, I just want to lock myself in the room, hide myself on the bed. I don't want to get up, and I don't want to see any person. That kind of fear, that kind of depressed, actually, I can echo with the disciples. They don't want to go out because there are so many fears. There are so many dangers outside. The danger for being persecuted, arrested, and taken by the Roman soldiers, and also the Jewish leaders. This is totally different from the situation that after that night, they move out. And even after Jesus' ascension, they even go to the end of the world and they are not filled with fear. That makes a big change. And that night makes the change. What happened on that night? I would like to use 5 P's to indicate or illustrate what happened on that night. And that's very crucial for me as my journey through the depression path, but I think it's also very crucial for the church as well to be a church not locked in the four walls in the room, but to go out, to have the courage and also have the boldness to go out to be the true follower of Jesus with the resurrected life of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first P is peace heard. In verse 19, we know that, we back to the passage, he said, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leader, they are very fearful. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. First thing Jesus do is not say hi. What he say? Shalom. Shalom. The disciples know what is shalom. Shalom means the presence of God so that they can have the peace even in the midst of chaotic world and in the midst of turmoils. This is the peace that Jesus is going to give to them because he knew well that they are in fear. Peace be to you. Peace be to you. For a church that is preparing to go out to be a real church in this world, we need to listen, we need to hear, we need to clearly hear our Lord speaks to us. Peace be with you, shalom, shalom. Because otherwise, when we face this chaotic world, what happened in the world is that just like a turmoil in this nowadays. And also, there are turmoils in us, just like me, in my depression. During the time, I just find that I don't know how to face the world. I don't know how to face, how to lead the church, and I don't know how to deal with my own illness because of this kind of chaotic situation. But Jesus is the one who is shalom, and he comes to speak to his disciple. If you want to live a life to follow me, Listen clearly. Shalom. My peace is with you. When they heard this, the life being changed to a life that is not to be troubled and afraid. Today I can stand on this pulpit. I can preach. I have no fear because I heard Jesus speak to me that peace be with you. Peace be with you. Have you heard this peace that Jesus speaks to you directly? No matter what situation you're facing, he said that, my peace unto you. And Jesus promised not just on that day, he's going to give the peace to his disciples. In John 14, he already mentioned before he being crucified, he said, peace I leave to you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He's giving a peace to us which the world cannot give. This is an overwhelming peace that our Lord is going to give to us. This is the first peace that can help us to move out of the four walls and the locked room. The second peace is the peace marked sin. In verse 20, after he said this, he showed them his hand and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. That means when Jesus talked to them, said to them, peace be with you, they still have no joy. But when they saw the marks on his hand and also on the side, they were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. We know that on that night, there was not all the disciples was there. Who was missing? Thomas, right? Anybody here named Thomas? Thomas, who is Thomas? Later in John, in the Gospel of John, John recorded this, the second incident that Jesus appeared to the disciple, and that time Thomas was there. John chapter 20, verse 24 to 29, he said, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. He's a disciple of doubt. He's a disciple of disbelief. And a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them, though the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hands and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Here, it seems that Thomas has not done a good job. He seems to have doubt, and he's not believing. But our Lord is so merciful and gracious. How many of us, we in our life situation, we doubt about God. We disbelieve him. Just like me, in my depression, I doubt a lot. I ask God, why? Where are you? Where are you? Why you give me this sickness? I don't want to have it. I don't like it. And I eventually find that I feel that I'm such a loser. I'm failed. I fail everything. I failed the church. I failed to myself. I failed to my family. I failed to my calling. I just cannot do anything. But Jesus came to me and showed his hand and his side to me. He said that, you think you are a loser? I am the biggest loser in the perspective of the world. You think you failed in the eyes of the world, I fail much, much more than you. But with this nail, I want you to see it's because of you. I come. And you have the identity and your security in me. When I see that nail mark and also what Jesus has talked to me, I Once again I said, my Lord and my God, you are my God, you are my Lord, and help me to believe in you. Thomas, this name in Aramaic is, in Aramaic means twofold. That means two side. It's undecisive. And Didymus in Greek is double mind. It's clearly that if a person or a church is twofold church, or a church is a double mind church, or we as a double mind Christian, we have doubt, we have fear. But when we truly believe and follow Jesus and see his sign of the hand and also the side of his sign, we can get away from these doubts. We can believe him. The third P is participation invited. In verse 21, continue, Jesus said, and Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Do you find this words similar or familiar? And actually, Jesus also, when he before he's crucified, he also said the prayer for all the disciples, and including this element in it is also ascending. In John chapter 17 verse 15 to 19. In Jesus' prayer for his disciple, he said, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify them that they too may be truly sanctified. Jesus prayed for his disciples. Did Jesus pray for the church that we are going to be sanctified, and we are going not just staying inside the church, inside the room, in the locked room with fear, but go out with boldness, with courage, to be sent, to send into the world, just like Jesus being sent by the Father to us. How Jesus is sent by the Father to us? Word become flesh. In an incarnational way. It's not just talking. It's not just a talking way. Jesus come to live among the people and to suffer and to be with the people. And Jesus is going to say, how the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Don't stay inside the wall. Don't stay inside your locked room with fear, but go out. Go out because you are being sent. If you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, we need to be sent. We are not staying. During my time of depression, I doubt, and Jesus showed his hand to me and saying that he come to identify himself with the loser, with the one who think they have failed. And I asked the Lord, okay, then what's the next? What do you want me to do? And he sent me. Once again, he sent me. He said, how the Father sent me, I'm sending you also. I'm going to sanctify you with the word of truth and also to sanctify you with my sending. As I mentioned that during the time in my depression, I always think that I'm a loser. I'm failed. And Jesus said that he is a loser as well. He is failed as well. He identified with me. And he told me that, do you know why you have depression? Because I'm depressed. Do you know why you have depression? Because I'm depressed for the depression, for the depressed ones. And I'm going to send you to identify with them and to go among them and to be with them. I know my depression is not without purpose. And I know more after several months of rest and dialogue with the Lord, God is going to send me. No longer the one staying in the locked room, lying on the bed, not wanting to go out, fear to be with people, but the Lord sent me to go out, to reach out to those who think they are the loser, to reach out who think they have failed their family, they have failed the world, they have failed to themselves. And Jesus said that, I love them. The fourth P is the presence of the Holy Spirit. When we heard Jesus say shalom, when we saw his nail mark, and when we being sent and ready not staying in the room, we need the presence of the Holy Spirit. In verse 22, continue, it said, and it, with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I always question that about the birth of the church. We always think that in the evangelical circle, think that it's from the Pentecost day that the Holy Spirit come and the church is being born. But I read the Bible. I see that the Holy Spirit not come on that day, but it's on this day, on the Easter night, that Jesus directly talked to his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit come among the first group of people that is the follower of Jesus, and that's the church. And why we need the Holy Spirit? Also in John chapter 15, 26 to 27, it said, when the advocate come, this is from Jesus, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father. He will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. The Holy Spirit, the advocate, he has a job. He come to do what? The Spirit of truth who go and testify about Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit because we need truth among us. There's so many lies, so many things deceive us, and there are so many accusations. Maybe that's not the truth. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us so that we can be sent out and be testified of him. Why we do evangelism? Why we go to reach out to the world? Why are we going to reach the one who are the loser? It's not because we are better than them. It's not because we know better. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. This is my prayer during my time of when I'm resting, when I'm reflecting. I ask the Lord, send me the Holy Spirit. If you want me to go out, give me the Holy Spirit. And I pray for the church as well. I say that this is your church. This is the church that you are going to send out. They need the Holy Spirit. Fill them with the Holy Spirit and to empower them. The presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. During my time when I depressed, one of the things that tortured me is I always have a lot of accusation in me. The accusation saying that you are not good enough. You are not a good pastor. You fail me. You fail the Lord. You fail the calling. A lot of accusation in me. I need to clearly know whether this is from the Lord or from the enemy. So who helped me to advocate? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helped me to discern whether this voice is from the Lord or from the enemy. And thank God that my accusation turns out to be confirmation from the Lord through his word, through the Holy Spirit. That's very important. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we cannot move out of these four walls. Otherwise, I cannot get away from my locked room. I still will be living with fear in my locked room. The last P is the pronouncement of empowerment. In verse 23, Jesus continued to say, if you forgive anyone's sin, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. It's such a big power. But actually, this is a reaffirmation of what Jesus is going to talk about his church and also talk about the people that is going to follow him. Where has this already mentioned? We remember in Matthew 16, verse 15 to 19, at the place called Caesarea Philippi, what happened there? Jesus intentionally brought the disciples to there and to ask them one question. Who am I? Who am I? In Matthew verse 16, chapter 16, verse 15 to 19. But what about you? He said, what do you say I am? And there is a very smart disciple. Who is he? Who is the smart disciple? Peter. Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It's similar, right? And Jesus has already mentioned. Do you think that he's talking about just to Simon Peter? And then you say, okay, it's nothing about me. I remember those some of you I have shepherded you in the youth worship. And one year in the camp, we talk about this. We talk about this. And I exegesis and also talk to you about what actually here Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about Simon Peter. He's talking about his confession, a communal confession about the church. He has said that, I will give you the key of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He's talking about the church that confessed that, Jesus, you are the Messiah, and you are the Son of the living God. When a church or when a Christian, he or she, have this kind of confession, this is the rock that on this foundation we are being empowered. We are being empowered with the power that Jesus has already promised to his people and to his church that confess that, Jesus, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. I thank God so much during this time. This is not a personal confession. This is a communal confession, a corporate confession of a body of Christ. And I witnessed this when I was suffering from my illness, from my sickness, that the church come together. I can sense, I want to thank all of you as a church that you come together. You have the power and you confess Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And you lift up your pastor to the Lord. I experience the power that when you come together to confess, it's not about any other thing, but the Lord, my God, has healed me through your confession. So a church truly confess in this way, has the power, the communal confession become a gospel multiplication power. We are going to multiply and bring people into the kingdom. It's not because we have strategy. It's not because we have good preaching skill. It's about our confession in our Lord Jesus Christ. I have heard Jesus talk to me, Shalom. I have seen his pierced mark. I have been invited to participate and be sent. I have experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit, and I have listened to the pronouncement of empowerment. And how about you as a church? As I mentioned, today is not the most important day, but the day after is important. Easter life is a resurrected life. It's risen from death. Jesus, he risen from death. And then he gives this resurrected life to his disciples and to let them to live out a resurrected life. My life is saved and combat from death. I've shared with some of you that I have several times fresh in my mind the suicide thought in my depression. That's why I knew that I'm in serious depression. I could be died. I could commit suicide. But who saved my life? Jesus saved my life because his life given to me is not a dead life. His life given to me is a life saved from the dead and risen and also conquered the death. And he come back from life, from death. And I come back from death as well. A church, we can experience this resurrected life if we have that 5P in us. Almost comes to the end of my depression. I have a trip with my family to Mexico. You know, Mexico, enjoying the sunshine, the beach. And on the first morning that I arrived in Mexico on the beach, during that time, I'm reading a book, Come Back. And I'm already preparing myself to come back to the church. So I'm reading a book, Come Back, written by a very famous author, Luis Gurguillo. Yeah. And on that morning, I read to the chapter 7. And chapter 7, the title is Breakfast on the Beach. Oh, God, you're going to speak to me, Breakfast on the Beach. And then on that day, actually, the passage is talk about, let me read this out to you. John 21:15-17. When they had finished eating, that's the time between Jesus' resurrection and the ascension. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Breakfast on the beach, and I'm talking to Jesus through reading this passage. And Jesus asked me, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? I asked him, what is these? Mexico? The beach? The resort? And Jesus asked, do you love me more than these? I think about the church. I think about you all. I love you all. And Jesus once again said to me, do you love me more than these? I say, Jesus, yes, you know I love you. You know I love you. And he asked me several times, and he replied me several times, feed my lamb, feed my lamb. During that time, I have already made the decision to resign and also talk to the deacons. And then I asked the Lord, okay, are you asking me to hold back my resignation and to go back to SBPG to feed your lamb? Yes, they are the lamb, they are the lamb. But you know, I'm in vacation, I'm in a resort, and I just, okay, I'll think about it later. When I come back, I continue to read the book. Actually, several days I haven't read the book. When I come back, I continue to read the book. And on the plane, and I flip the book, and then it's in chapter 10, and the title of the book of that chapter is A Vision on a Plane. I'll say, oh, Lord, you are speaking. And clearly on the plane, God speak to me, feed my sheep, and build the church. But this time, the Lord clearly showed me that what he's talking to me, the church is not, is capital letter C. So build the church of God. Build an ecumenical church. So I get more clear about the guidance of the Lord. I'm still a pastor. I'm still a shepherd. I still feed God's sheep. And in the same way, I still shepherd you. But God is asking me to feed the sheep and build the capital letter C, the church. And I continue to read the book. And when the flight is landing in Vancouver, I read chapter 12, which is the last chapter of the book. The title is called The Ultimate Comeback. So I was coming back to Vancouver. And I asked, oh, okay, what do you want to speak to me? And I say that you are coming back to Vancouver, but that's not that important. I just want to let you know that ultimately, even though I say, see you to my disciples, one day I will come back. The Lord will come back one day. And that's the day that lets me know that the final see you is not the final goodbye. Today I say see you, I'm not saying goodbye to you guys. I say see you. Because for sure I know I will see you again. And not on earth, we know. When Jesus comes back, we will see him again. If we are going to see him again, how do we live our life? Jesus has promised. He assured that ultimately he will see us again. He will come back. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 to 11, he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And he said this, is the angels. He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from the sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them, the angels. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. The same Jesus will come back. The same Jesus will come back. And Jesus, this last see you, means that he will actually going to see us again. But this two angels said to the disciples, and he said that, why are you looking up in the sky? Now you're going out. But now you're standing there and looking into the sky. No, just go, because he will come back. Don't worry, he will come back. But now you need to go as he sent you, as he sent you like the Father sent him. Go into the world and be his witness. He will come back. He will come back. For sure, I think I will come back. I will come back in different identity, and I hope that I can come back. I will come back on the Easter baptism because my daughter is planning. She's needs to go through the classes with Reverend James, Pastor James. I will come back. But I just want you to think and also always remember, Jesus will come back. Are we staying in the locked room? Are we just here, standing, looking up to the sky? Or are we being sent out? When talking about a farewell speech, I will have another farewell speech after the noon service. But here, when I'm preparing this, I always think about farewell speech of the people in the Bible. I talk about Jesus' farewell speech, and I thought about Moses' farewell speech. And it's also something I want to talk to you today. And Moses, when he's going to say, see you, I think he's going to say, see you to the Israelite. He said, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commandments, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to the gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heaven and the earth as witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land his word give to your father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 to 20. It's really a challenge for us. From Jesus saying, see you on the Mount Olive when he's ascended, and to see you again. When we see Jesus again, are we a living body or are we dead? Are we being cursed or are we being blessed? It's all about us. This really a challenge. And 1 month ago on my birthday, besides the staff invite me to have a birthday lunch, I also found that on a lot of photos on Facebook, people post their photos 10 years ago and now. You know, that's the 10-year challenge. So it's very interesting. I haven't posted anything because I'm going to post today. And this is very, the original idea about this challenge is, there's another name, it's called How Hard Did Aging Hit You? But maybe this is not that good. So later they changed the name, Grow Up Challenge, referring to how well people have aged. So I came here, 1999, and I came here to study in Regent College. And that's the time I begin with SVPG. This is me before the last day in my office as a designer. Yeah, and I'm very a little bit skinny there. And talking about 10 years challenge, and I show you 10 years before that. That's me. In 1999, this is a project from my friend who studied photographic design. So this is not something I will always do. So this is the time I commit myself to serve the Lord. 1989 is the year. And 1999, I came to Regent and I start my journey with SVPG. First as an intern, then later become the pastor. And 10 years later, 2009, that's the time after my first sabbatical. And actually, that's a time that is my spiritual and ministerial, I call it, is in the wilderness. I'm searching for meaning and also for direction about how God is going to guide me. And then 10 years later, today, I'm ascend from the dark world, I'm risen from the dead, and I'm preparing to say see you and to move on to something the Lord is going to lead me to. I want to show you this, all these 30 years of my life challenge. That's a lot of challenges. But today, through the passage, I just want to remind every one of us to walk through the 5 P's and to be sent by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit and to be a witness beside these 4 walls. And God is going to send it in this way. In these 30 years, I spent 20 years here. So you guys have been very, very significant role in my life as a servant of God. You mold me, you help me. And I'm not perfect. I have a lot of shortcomings. And always you have the patience and to walk together with me. And still today, I'm not perfect. So I still need your prayer for me. But I want to leave you 3 NRs that when I apply region, I have written in my application form. The 3 NR is no reserve, no regret, no return. After 30 years, I dedicate my life to serve the Lord. I have regret, I have reserve, I want to return. But today, by God's grace and by your prayer, today I tell my God, my Lord, I have no regret. I have no reserve. I will no return. I pray that this is also your commitment to God and also SBPG's commitment to God. No regret, no reserve, no return. 30 years ago, when I committed myself to serve the Lord, one song that I always sing as my commitment, as my prayer to the Lord, is called Make Me a Servant. And I pray that, I hope that this is your prayer today as well. Make me a servant. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today. Today, I still ask God to make me his servant. And I pray now, several years ago, people still say that I'm a young pastor. But now I know I'm getting away from this title. And that's a privilege that I can speak to those younger than me, that God is going to make you his servant. And I'm passing the baton to you, God. You are the future of the church. And you receive the baton and ask God to make you a servant. I would like to sing this song to you as a prayer. And I hope that this is also a song that you will sing. Make me a servant. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today. If this is also your prayer, I invite you to sing together with me. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you hear your people commit themselves to you and to ask you to make us your servants. This is not an easy thing. This is a challenge. But this is also a blessed journey that we surrender all of ourselves to you. I testify and witness that you are faithful, that you are the one who says shalom, that you are the one who died on the cross and suffered for us with the pierced hand and also your side. You are the one who promised us with the Holy Spirit. Because of that, you sent us. You sent us out to be a witness of you. And you promised that we have the power. The question is, with all these promises, will we say yes to you? Lord, I pray for my dear brothers and sisters, as they say, make me a servant. It means that they say yes to you. As a church, when we say, make God a servant, we say yes to you. Lord, build this church. Build up our life to be a true follower of Jesus with the experience of the resurrected life, that we are saved from that. Lord, thank you so much because you are such a great God. We love you because you first love us. And in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.